And no, I'm not Dr. Blank. All right. This morning I wasn't Trey, and I'm not Dr. Blank, but filling in for those guys today. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have our special music as Allison Lane is going to come and share with us so that then she can get over to her league activity. So let's begin with prayer. God, we do thank you that you have given us a place that we can come in out of the weather that's outside, and it's nice, and it's warm, it's dry in here. And we thank you, Lord, that you not only provide us with the physical type of blessings, but you provide us with many emotional and spiritual blessings as well. We certainly thank you for all the ministries that's going on in our church, those that are active in trying to reach out and be your hands and your feet and simply share your love in really practical ways. We pray for our youth tonight as they're over in the lighthouse, as they're going through league. We pray that as they study and dig into your word, that you would just speak to them and that you would direct their lives. And we're very thankful, Lord, this evening that Allison is going to come and she's going to sing. And Lord, we pray that through her example, each of us tonight might better understand what it means to serve you. Thank you again, Lord, for letting us come. In Jesus' name, amen.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifting me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me, love lifted me, love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Stars and angels look above, Jesus completely saves. He will lift you by his love, out to the angry waves. He's the master of the sea, billows his will obey. He's your savior, wants to be saved today. Love's lifting me, love lifting me. When nothing else could help, love lifting me, love lifting me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Excellent job. Not that we need more inspiration to sing to our Lord, but that surely should inspire us to sing out and praise our Lord. All right, I don't like doing this. I normally don't like to lead music, but tonight I'm going to be standing up here and getting us started. But I really need your help. I need everybody to move right up into these first, let's say five rows. Everybody, just five rows. Everybody get together, because I found that if you put people in a congested area, they sound better. So get in a congested, I'll let you move back afterwards. You don't have to stay up here for the preaching, but everybody move up. No, I want everybody. Everybody means everybody. And I want you in the first five rows, not counting this one. So one, two, three, four. Get in there and be get kind with each other. That's it. I'm going to wait till everybody sits down so they pay attention.
You better take a picture.
Hey, that's not a bad idea. No, Now we're back seven, but I guess that's better than where we were at. Look, you don't even have to really sing, just move your mouth. I'm really okay with that. But
may we stay seated for a change?
No, I think you gotta stand up. I think you gotta stand up. All right, it is page 295, Revive Us Again. That's right, stand up. No. You guys got to admit it, you sounded better all in the middle together. Anyway, 527.
Thank you.
Good job. Now go back to where you were. Now y'all going to mess me up. You're not sitting in the right places now. All right. Well, thank you for moving up, and thank you for singing out. It made it a whole lot easier for me. So let's pray again. Lord, your word really is the meat that provides so much substance for our souls. And so we want to come to your word tonight. We want to get into it. But most importantly, Lord, we want to hear you speak to us through it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So why do we do what we do? I mean, what truly motivates us as a Christian? I mean, why do we really want to grow closer to Christ? And I suppose that could be a lot of different things. Maybe we think about those words that the Apostle Paul penned to the Corinthians about how that we need to be a living sacrifice, and we're driven because we know that it's in being a living sacrifice that it's holy and acceptable and pleasing unto the Lord, and that moves us because we want to be that type of sacrifice. Maybe it's that verse of Scripture also in Corinthians that says, it is my goal to please Him. I mean, that's it. We just want to please Jesus. Whatever we're doing, we just want to please Him, and we know that growing does that. Or maybe we're just almost afraid and burdened by that passage of Scripture that talks to us and really tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ, that God is making His appeal to those that are headed to hell and going to go to hell if we're not there to be His ambassador. I mean, maybe that just... It just drives us forward because we know that we need to be a better ambassador tomorrow than we've been today. Or maybe you've run up against those words of Jesus and they just kind of... Every time I read them and really stop and think about them, it just doesn't hardly make sense to me. But Jesus said, you therefore be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Man, I can't pull that one off. I hear you saying that, and I know that that's what I'm supposed to do, but wow. So what is it then that really motivates us and brings us together and says, you know, I want to be more like Jesus? And I got to say that whatever it is for you, and I don't know what it is for you, I know that it will take a commitment. I know it's going to mean that Jesus has to really be number one in our lives, like the old hymn goes, Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He's my strength from day to day, and without Him, I would fall. If we're going to be committed to Jesus, if we're going to grow, if we're going to be what He wants us to be, in whatever verse that it is that moves you to be that, well, at least for Peter, we've got to do some math. At least we're going to have to be somewhat proficient in addition. I want to read to you tonight from the book of, or the letter from Peter, 2 Peter, the first chapter. And Peter starts out like most letters back then. You didn't put your name at the bottom of the letter. You started the letter with it, you know. So he started out, Simon Peter, servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith that is as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And then he starts in. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, that being those very precious promises, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, if you stop and think about it, there are several things that we often say about Jesus, right? Dr. Reed spent 4 days telling us that Jesus is our example. And he did a really great job sharing with us how that Jesus is our example and shows us how to live. We know from Scripture that Jesus, well, he's our teacher. He teaches us about life and what life means. We often in church talk about Jesus is our guide, right, in this maze that we call life. And how good is it to have somebody looking down on you? And if you're in a real maze, if you've ever been out in there, I mean, if you could look up and see the way, you could find your way right to the end of it without any problems. But when you're down in there, you know, it's difficult. But how good is it when you have somebody looking down saying, okay, now at the next intersection, you turn right. And then go two places and turn left. And then they just guide. He's our guide, right? I mean, we believe that. I hope that he is our guide in life. But how frustrating would it be if that were all he were to us? I mean, those are important things. But it would be frustrating to me because I would know that even though I know how I'm supposed to live and he's my example and he teaches me how to live, I know I can't live that way. But the point is, Jesus is more than that. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's Savior. He's Lord. And he not only shows us the way, or he not only is the way, but he shows us the way as well. And so through Christ, God gives us everything that we need in order to live. To live the kind of life that will please God. I mean, go back and look. His divine power has given us everything that we need. Not most of it, but everything that we need for life and for godliness. I don't know about you, but I think Peter just took away all excuses, right? I mean, if God has given us everything that we need in order to be that, to live the life he wants and to excel in godliness, then if we're not doing it, it's not God's fault. So how good are you at math? Because I think Peter gives us an idea that we need to know how to add if we're going to live that kind of life that really does participate in the divine nature and escapes the corruption that is in the world. Verse 5. For this very reason, said Peter, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. You got to add, all right? You got to add if we're going to effectively live for Jesus. Now, an ancient commentator that was speaking about this passage in 2 Peter said that we really ought to understand this passage a little bit by thinking about the parable of the 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 foolish. And we know the wise ones brought extra oil along so that when the bridegroom was delayed in coming, even though he was delayed, they still had oil when he showed up. The unwise ones were the ones they didn't have anything extra, and that meant that when they ran out, they had to try to go find some, and they were trying to find some when the bridegroom showed up. And the commentator, that ancient commentator, had this to say about that. He said, the flame, you know, the flame in their lamps, he said, is that which is imparted to us by God and from God alone without any of our labor. But the oil in our lamps is that which a man must pour into life. He pours it into his life through study and through his own faithful effort so that the flame may be fed and increased. In other words, yes, we are absolutely saved by grace. There's nothing we can do about it. He gives us the flame, right? But there are things that we do in life that actually add to it, that lets his flame become more visible and even brighter within us if we're willing to apply ourselves. And for Peter, these things included a list of virtues. He said it starts with faith and it ends with love. And by the way, I think those truly are the basic bookends of a life following Jesus, aren't they? Faith and love. But faith, said Peter, is the foundation upon which we add all these other things. We've got to believe God can. We've got to trust that God will. I mean, the Apostle John spoke about how the importance of faith, the victory of faith, when he said, everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Now, if we want to go to the next level in our relationship with the Lord, then we've got to have a faith that is growing. But to have a faith that is growing, that means we're going to have to put ourselves in a position not only to succeed, but also sometimes to sink, right? We've got to go out there a little bit. If we're all in our comfort zone, it doesn't take much faith to live that way. But if we're willing to take what we perceive to be risk for Jesus and step out, then yes, we may succeed, but we may sink as well. I still look at Peter and said, that's the kind of faith that I want. Yeah, he did sink. But he also had that kind of faith that I believe that the Lord was looking for. The kind of faith that was willing to jump out. And so to that faith, Peter said, well, you've got to add goodness to faith. Goodness. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on these because I think you've heard most of these things before. But we'll run through them. Goodness is we don't do things just because it's someone's watching us. We don't do good things just because we might get caught if we don't do them. No, goodness is about who we are deep down inside of us. We don't do the right thing because we'll get caught if we don't, but we do the right thing just because it is the right thing. It's to live a life of integrity. Right now, there goes a good person there. I mean, what you're really saying is there's a person of integrity. They're going to do the right thing regardless of who's watching them. And to that goodness, said Peter, you need to add knowledge. And knowledge is more than simply a bunch of facts out of a book. It's one thing to know that we are supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves, but the bigger question is, what does that mean for you tomorrow? If you're really going to go out and love your neighbor tomorrow like yourself, what does that mean to you? And by the way, Jesus tells us exactly what it means if we're willing to go look at it. But I got to tell you, if we want the kind of knowledge that I believe Peter was getting at here, then it's going to take great deals of meditating on God's word. Not rushing, but very slowly getting into the word and thinking about it and letting God speak to us. It's going to take an understanding that what we need to do in life, well, it comes by the whole presence of the Holy Spirit within us, because it's that presence of the Spirit that will elevate us. We're told that we are not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind, right? And the renewing of our mind comes from the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit isn't opening the Word, illuminating the Word to us, I believe as Dr. Reed put it the other night, if the Holy Spirit doesn't illuminate it, you can think about the Word of God all you want, but it's not going to ever do anything for you. But if you want the kind of knowledge that really is going to affect the way that you go about doing your life tomorrow, then you come to the Word and you let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And so, on top of faith, that foundational block, we add goodness. And to goodness, we add knowledge. And then Peter said, we need to be self-controlled. And that doesn't mean that you are not passionate about things. It doesn't mean that we don't have intense feelings. But it does mean that we don't ever lose control. And the only way that we don't ever lose control, well, again, that comes by the presence of the Holy Spirit. I think Paul gives us a list of things that, well, speak about how people get out of control when they're not living in the Spirit. Paul said that the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. They're sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions and factions and envy and drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. These are the acts of being out of control in life. And I got to tell you, you look around in our society, there's a lot of out of control things going on, right? And if we want self-control, which is almost a misnomer because it takes being in step with the Spirit. But when we're in step with the Spirit, instead of having all these terrible, sinful things, Paul says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And so if we're not walking in the Spirit, we are not in any way living a self-controlled life. And then Peter had to go maybe, you know, to that next slide. He said, perseverance. You add to self-control, perseverance. The idea that we're just not going to give up. It's we're just going to keep going no matter what. And I know that circumstances, I know that sometimes life can demoralize us and hurt us, but we keep going because we keep believing and trusting that somehow our God's in control. And then comes godliness, said Peter. Now, Paul had this to say about godliness. He said, while bodily training is of some value, godliness, said Paul, is of value in every way, as it holds promise not only for the present, but also for the life to come. And, you know, godliness, in one sense, is maybe a little bit difficult to, to, to define, but in another, it's really not. Godliness, in one way, is just letting God rub off on us. It's by hanging out and around God so much that His attributes begin to just rub off into our life. It's like if you're around somebody, you know, a lot. I mean, you can almost know what they're going to say before they say it. You almost know what they're going to do before they do it, right? Because you know them that well. Well, when we are that familiar with God, then godliness becomes simply God rubbing off on us. Godlike. Doing the things that God would do the way God would do them. And then came brotherly love, said Peter. He said, okay, to your godliness, add brotherly love or brotherly kindness. And if you'll notice the first set of these are all inward, right? Up to this point, all these virtues are inward. Our faith and our goodness and our knowledge and our self-control, that's about what we do on the inside of us. But now Peter, I think, begins to broaden the shape of what we need to do and to be if we're truly going to be, you know, effective in living for Jesus. He said, brotherly kindness. See, that looks on the outside of us. It's a concern for others that's simply more than lip service, by the way. Brotherly love is, well, it's the good Samaritan. The need is there, and you got to do something about it. And then he ends the list with love, and again, we all know why he would end with love, because God's love, what, never fails. And so for Peter, he said, you know, we need to make every effort to add to our faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. And then he hits, I think, the reason. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There you have it, right? If you're doing these things and they're growing, they're getting better in you all the time, you won't be ineffective. You'll be effective. That's why we do it. We commit to Jesus and we commit to these things because we want Jesus to, well, we want Him to look at us and see that we're growing in that relationship. Alfred Miller once told of an organization that it was a Christian organization, but it went out of business. And the sign on the door when they left was, you know, voted ourselves out of business because we didn't know what business we were in. And those are sad words to me, especially for a Christian organization, right? Well, one of the quickest ways for any church to find itself in trouble is to forget who we are, why we are, and what we're supposed to be about, right? And, well, you know, who we are, simple. We're the people of God. We're a people that are His very own. And we know why we are, right? We are to bring glory to God. That's why we shine the light upon Him. And we know what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be on mission with Jesus. We're supposed to be bearing fruit. And if we bear fruit, Jesus said, that brings glory to God. From the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. There you have it, right? We're God's people to bring glory to God, and we bring glory to God by bearing fruit. And you know, there's just a ton of books out there today that all speak about the church and how the church should look and what the church should be doing. But I got to tell you, the best book today on church growth is the New Testament. That's really what we need more than anything else. Yeah, I love the books and I read some other books. I find words, but more than anything else, what we need is to dig deep into the Word of God and let Him speak to us. Things change. But what doesn't change is the truth of who we are, why we are, and what we're supposed to be about. And if we keep those three things right, if we keep ourselves focused on those things, well, then we will grow and we will be effective. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, and I think those are important words, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, so if you don't have these things, if you've not added these things to your life, but if anyone does not have them, he's nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Because of all of this, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look, the truth is, if we keep these things in our lives and we keep growing, then what we understand is that as much as things may change, it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes we hear all these things that's going on in the world, how bad it is, but you know what? We can get by without the world because we're just pilgrims passing through. And we know where we're headed. And we know where the journey ends. And the truth is, I think sometimes we maybe get caught up too much in all the bad stuff that's going on and realize that if God's people, you know, my people are called by my name, if my people, he said, will simply bring glory to him through bearing fruit, I'm believing that much of the bad that's in our world today simply will cease to be because it will be replaced through the love of Christ. You know, sometimes you hear about athletes that have the ability to raise their game up to the next level, right? The bigger the game, the better they come through. Well, I believe when it comes to us as followers of Jesus, we need to raise our game to the next level, our witness and our serving to the next level. And if we're going to do it, you're at least going to have to be able to add up a few things to your life. I think Peter gave us 7 things. Add these things to your life in increasing measure. Are we willing? Lord, we thank you again for your word. And we thank you for how that it just lays out for us things that Lord, we need to do that we might be your holy, special people. We know that we're loved. Now help us to grow in our relationship with you. Thank you for the promises that are many, the promises that allow us to participate in your divine nature. And help us this week. May it be our commitment this week that we will raise our game to the next level for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.